Hello and welcome to the Decorum Talking newspaper for the week ending Saturday the 5th of April 2025. This is Janet and your other readers are Eleanor, Amanda and Brian. The editor this week is Eleanor. All are members of Team 3. This week Team 3 is sponsored by RL Supplies, who have over 30 years experience in the repairs to PCs, laptops, tablets and many models of phones. Telephone 01923 896 996. The website is rlsupplies.co.uk. As usual, most of our news items are taken from the Hemel Hempstead, Berkhamsted and Tring Gazette and Express newspaper. All telephone numbers are on the local code of 01442 unless stated otherwise. This week's headlines, Inspiration. The man admits to 31 fraud charges. Storm are crowned champions. These and other stories follow. Here is the news.
Hello, this is Eleanor. A sailor from Berkhamsted has been appointed to a leadership role in a world-famous endurance race around the world. Gavin Rees has been selected as a clipper race skipper and will be among the amateur and professional sailors navigating an 11-month endurance challenge. Gavin is one of 11 captains on non-professional teams that will be making six ocean crossings on the 40,000 nautical mile 11-month race around the globe. The Clipper Race claims to be the only event of its kind which trains people from all walks of life to become ocean racers and take on the endurance challenge of a lifetime. Gavin said, "Competing in this race is a dream come true," after he was inspired to circumnavigate following a school visit from Clipper Race founder and first person to sail around the world single-handed, Sir Robin Knox-Johnson. He will be switching careers from an HR director in the corporate world to race skipper because it's the ultimate job for him. Gavin has taken every opportunity to sail in his free time, whether that be coastal cruising or longer offshore passages. Competitive in nature, he has also raced around the Cannes and in the RORC offshore series, including the Rolex Fastnet race. Most recently, Gavin has spent time as a Clipper Race training instructor, putting future Clipper Race crew members through their paces as they undertake their four stages of training. Talking about his love of sailing, Gavin said, "I can't wait to spend a year sailing around the globe because every day on the water is different. It brings new opportunities to work as a team, to overcome whatever challenges may come along, and to sail fast and safe. That feeling the whole crew are going to have at the end is going to be fab." He also has a more personal reason for taking on this endurance challenge. Gavin said, "I really want to set an example to my two daughters, Molly, aged 15, and Bethan, aged 9, that they should follow their dreams in life." The next edition will start from Portsmouth on August the 31st, and over the course of the almost year-long event, over 700 participants will face all that Mother Nature can throw at them, from hurricane-force winds to blistering heat, the isolation of the North Pacific Ocean, to learning to live aboard a yacht with stripped-back facilities and with up to 23 others. This event is a true test of mental and physical fortitude. Clipper Race Director Dale Smith says, "Our selection process is tough, and rightly so, as these individuals are taking on one of the toughest jobs in the global sailing industry. They need to not only be incredibly good sailors, but be able to lead, inspire, and look after a big team of diverse individuals across the harshest oceans on the planet." The Clipper Round the World Yacht Race was founded by Sir Robin Knox-Johnson 30 years ago and trains people from all walks of life to become ocean racers. Each participant must complete four stages of intensive training before signing up for one or multiple legs or can complete the full 40,000 nautical mile circumnavigation.
Hello, this is Amanda. A man who made millions selling other people's homes in Hertfordshire and other places has admitted to committing 31 fraud offences. Anup Kumar Maudhu will be sentenced for crimes including fraud, money laundering and having false identity documents. Maudhu, who used several aliases such as Vincent Leboeuf, was found by detectives to be running a large-scale fraud operation. Victims were offered investment opportunities to purchase supposedly repossessed properties or land earmarked for development. However, a regional police operation discovered the properties were not subject to repossession proceedings and the genuine owners were unaware of the fraudulent sales. Maudhu, 45, of Wapping, London, was arrested after the Eastern Region Special Operations Unit, ERSOU, authorised a number of raids in central London and Hertfordshire in September 2024. Detectives proved that he was using companies in his control to create the impression he had unique access to repossessed and liquidated properties and was able to expedite their onward sale. When victims suspected something dodgy was afoot, ERSOU says he would exchange messages with himself using different aliases and devices, pretending to be a point of escalation within his business or a contact in the planning or conveyancing process. Investigators found that Maudhu would use various excuses to bide himself time, such as waiting for bridging loans to come through or blaming delays with banks. Police investigators discovered he had amassed £8.5 million in personal wealth as a result of the fraudulent sales. It was uncovered that he bought properties, high-value cars, and was enjoying living a lavish lifestyle. He also purchased a collection of more than 20 personalised number plates which mimicked his different identities. Evidence uncovered by investigators suggested he had orchestrated the illicit sale of 75 buildings or development plots since 2021, with victims located across North London, Hertfordshire and Essex. During their investigation, police seized a speedboat and 19 high-value cars, including Ferraris, Lamborghinis, Aston Martins and several others. ERSOU adds that £15,000 in cash was retrieved during the warrants, along with 14 sets of false identity documents for several aliases of different nationalities. Digital devices were also found, which helped investigators uncover a vast, complex and highly organised scheme.
Hello, this is Brian. Press release. On Tuesday, the 1st of April 2025, at the Forum, Hemel Hempstead, Decorum Community Trust, DCT, was formally awarded the King's Award for Voluntary Service, KAVS, by the Lord Lieutenant of Hertfordshire, Robert Voss, CBE, C. St. J. The King's Award is the highest award given to volunteer groups in the United Kingdom, equivalent to an MBE for volunteer groups. It was previously known as the Queen's Award for Voluntary Service, before being renamed in 2023. The award recognises exceptional work done by volunteer groups in their communities. Decorum Community Trust is a small independent charity deeply committed to serving the people of Decorum. The Trust provides vital household support for local people in financial crises, also providing a signposting and referral service to ensure residents get all the help that they need. Dina Taylor, MBE, Trust Manager, said, "We are so very proud of this award. It is validation of the trust and reputation that we have built within the community of Decorum, and the highest possible public recognition of everything our small charity has achieved throughout its years of service. The award would not have been possible without our wonderful, passionate team and our incredible group of volunteers. The Board of Trustees would like to thank the entire team for their continuous hard work and dedication. We are a small charity that can achieve big things. Over the past 5 years, Decorum Community Trust has seen a steady increase in demand for crisis support from the people of Decorum, with a 110% increase in people registering for practical crisis support. 726 clients during the lockdown of 2021 to an anticipated 1,530 clients this year. For more information about Decorum Community Trust and its work, please visit www.dctrust.org.uk or contact Dina Taylor, MBE Trust Manager, on 25321.
This week in history, April the 5th, 1994, Kurt Cobain, the iconic singer of US grunge band Nirvana, committed suicide. His body was not discovered until 3 days later. On this day last year, defending champions England kicked off their Euro 2025 qualifying campaign with a 1-1 draw against Sweden in front of 63,428 crowd at Wembley. April the 6th, 1199, Richard I, Coeur de Lion, King of England, was killed in battle. On this day last year, an actor, Cole Brings Plenty, who appeared in a spin-off of the popular television western Yellowstone, has been found dead after he went missing amid a domestic violence investigation in Kansas, authorities said. April the 7th, 2008, the Diana inquest ended with a jury concluding she was unlawfully killed because of gross negligence by drink driver Henri Paul and the paparazzi. On this day last year, families of hostages held by Hamas joined a rally in London to call for their release, saying the 6 months after the October the 7th attack have been hell. April the 8th, 1967, Barefoot Sandy Shaw won the Eurovision Song Contest for the UK with Puppet on a String. On this day last year, Leo Vradica has said he has no regrets about standing down as he officially resigned as Ireland's Premier.
Farai's journey with Community Action Decorum is one of dedication, inspiration and impact. His involvement with the charity spans from mentoring young entrepreneurs in the Dragon's Apprentice Challenge to forming valuable business connections. But perhaps most strikingly, he recently undertook a fundraising climb up Ben Nevis, raising over £1,000 for Community Action Decorum. This remarkable feat is symbolic of the work Community Action Decorum does, helping individuals scale their own personal and professional heights. Farai's experience mentoring young people through the Dragon's Apprenticeship Challenge, which is run by Connect Decorum, has given him insight into the importance of guidance, learning, and real-world business applications. Seeing young participants develop their skills, refine their ideas, and learn about financial responsibility has been eye-opening for him. But mentorship is never a one-way street. Farai acknowledges that, as a business leader, he's learned a great deal from the fresh ideas and new perspectives of young people. Their approach to modern challenges, particularly in areas like social media and marketing, has made him reconsider aspects of his own business strategies. Through his involvement, Farai has not only helped shape future entrepreneurs, but has also expanded his own professional network, gaining clients and the new business opportunities through Community Action Decorum's networking initiatives. His journey from scaling Ben Nevis to mentoring young minds highlights the power of giving back. It's proof that through community support, collaboration and perseverance, individuals and organisations can reach incredible heights together.
A groundbreaking survey has highlighted the shocking number of women who are sleeping rough in Hertfordshire. With homeless women less likely to bed down in parks or shop doorways, their rough sleeping can be harder to spot, and previous government figures compiled in 2023 have put the number of women sleeping rough in the county as low as 9. but officials in Hertfordshire have conducted their own survey as part of the National Women's Rough Sleeping Census 2024. Over a seven-day period, they made contact with 51 women who reported that they had rough slept within the previous 3 months. And even that may only be a fraction of the whole picture, with services across the county reporting 107 of their clients having slept rough in the same three-month period. Annette Miles, the County Council's project lead for the census, which was conducted last September, says the number of women found to be sleeping rough was shocking, and she hopes the data will be a wake-up call, highlighting the need to focus on women's specialist services. Prior to the survey, the only official data we really had was from the Rough Sleeping Data Snapshot for 2023, known as The Count, said Annette Miles. Anecdotally, we knew the figure was going to be higher. We were shocked that it was as high as it was. Annette says that some of the information shared about where the women had slept rough was particularly difficult to hear. We heard experiences of women staying in A&E waiting rooms, sleeping indoors in public spaces, or walking around all night, she said. Some women reported sleeping in cars or on streets. Someone said they had slept in a bin. It was quite strong and shocking. And we know anecdotally that women who are homeless are at higher risk of exploitation, and there is a risk there. I hope this is a kind of wake-up call. I would hope this opens people's eyes a bit. Women experience homelessness, but in a different way to men. Recommendations drawn up by the council following the census include the need for a drive to develop gender-informed approaches in the county. They also include the need for early intervention for women at risk of rough sleeping and an increase in the number of safe single-gender accommodation options. And they point to the need to encourage partnership and referral pathways between domestic abuse, health and drug and alcohol services to improve support for homeless women.
In March, David Taylor MP hosted an event with Hertfordshire Police and the Police Federation in Grove Hill. The purpose was to hear from residents, answer their questions, and then take this back to Parliament. Mr. Taylor said, "The community deserves actions, not words. I've done my utmost to make sure that the feedback from the event has translated into real, measurable action for the community." The Hemel Hempstead MP listed the actions he took after the event. He raised illegal motorcycle use with Dame Diana Johnson MP, the Minister of State for Crime and Policing, and raised it in Parliament with a written question. He has submitted a formal request to the government for more resources, following discussion with a detailed breakdown of officer numbers in the area. He raised in Parliament the need for an investigation into wearing of balaclavas in public spaces across Hertfordshire. As a result of the event, Hertfordshire Police have agreed to give monthly updates on Hearts Connected. Hertfordshire Police have agreed to hold surgeries dedicated to antisocial behaviour so that the residents of Hemel Hempstead are given the opportunity to share their experiences and suggestions direct to officers. Mr. Taylor also met with the Deputy Mayor for Policing from the Mayor of London's office to share information on county lines and inform her of the cases in Hemel Hempstead. He has put in an official request for Hemel to be a pilot area for the new Respect Order. Mr. Taylor added, "I welcome the good news that Hearts Police are now hoping to be able to fund 75 additional officers following a commitment by the new government to invest in policing. Hearts Police have said that this will make a noticeable difference with increased police presence and in their ability to tackle crime." Mr. Taylor has confirmed he is planning more events in various parts of the constituency in the future.
David Taylor MP has been appointed to the Public Bill Committee responsible for scrutinising the government's new Crime and Policing Bill. This is a new proposed law that has tough impacts on crime, such as child abuse and exploitation, retail crime and antisocial behaviour. Mr. Taylor said, "Since being elected, I have been gathering evidence on crime and antisocial behaviour. I visited local stores to speak with retail workers. I held a public event for residents to voice antisocial behaviour concerns. I have spoken to hundreds of local people at surgeries and in the area. Today I brought evidence to the committee to strengthen the legislation so it has the maximum impact for Hemel people. The new law will include measures to address the highest harm crimes impacting society, such as knife crime, violence against women and girls, cybercrime, child sexual abuse and terrorism. Labour has backed up the bill with a pledge for 13,000 more community-based officers. Mr. Taylor added, "For too long, communities like Hemel have had to put up with rising town centre and street crime and persistent antisocial behaviour, while neighbourhood police have been cut. And for years, too little has been done to tackle the most serious violence of all, including knife crime and violence against women and children. That is why the new Crime and Policing Bill is about taking back our streets and town centres, restoring respect for law and order, and giving the police and local communities the support and tools they need to tackle local crime."
Hertfordshire County Council's payroll costs dipped into amber warning territory in the third quarter of 2024, a report revealed. The figures showed the local authority spent the annualised equivalent of £382.7 million on payroll costs in the third quarter, with an annualised equivalent of £29.8 million. That's 8.4% more spent on salaries than over the same period in the previous financial year of 2023-24. A report into the Council's resources performance for the third quarter of 2024 was presented to its Resources and Performance Cabinet panel on Friday, March the 14th. Presenting the figures, Porrig McKenna, the Council's Head of Intelligence, Improvement and Technology, said, "Two of three metrics for the panel to note. The first is on the payroll, at £383 million annualised spend, which is, as you know, a known and anticipated level within the IP, but it is flagged as amber, simply reflecting the financial pressures that the local authority faces, and this is probably the single largest area of spend across all of our staff." Other human resources statistics in the report showed an 11.9% voluntary staff turnover in the third quarter, described as stable for over 2 years after peaking to 19% in the last quarter of 2021-22. An average of 4.4 days were lost to sickness, steadily reducing from 5.3 days reported in the first quarter of 2022-23. The workforce headcount was listed as 1,617, while agency spend was £3.6 million, a reduction of £262,000 since the first quarter of 2023-24.
Hertfordshire's police spent more than £215,000 on kennelling dogs in the space of 8 months last year, it has been revealed. The information, provided in response to a Freedom of Information request, shows that Hertfordshire's costs between February and September 2024, £215,018, exceeded those of neighbouring Bedfordshire, £129,610, and Cambridgeshire, £159,041. Hertfordshire Police did not confirm how many dogs were kennelled in those months, but the force seized 59 dogs suspected of being banned breeds, which includes the XL Bully. According to the National Police Chiefs Council, NPCC, it can cost up to £1,000 a month to keep a dog kennelled. Chief Constable Mark Hobrer, lead for dangerous dogs at the NPCC, has warned, "The demand has been and continues to be simply huge. We are facing a number of challenges in kennel capacity, resourcing and ever-mounting costs. Veterinary bills and the cost of kennelling across policing has risen from £4 million in 2018 to currently standing at more than £11 million, and this is expected to rise to as much as £25 million by the end of April 2025. Across the UK, police forces seized 4,586 suspected banned breed dogs between February and September 2024. But a Hertfordshire Police spokesperson made clear there are other reasons for dogs being kennelled too. They said dogs can be kennelled by police for numerous reasons, from welfare concerns through to protecting the public. We know it can be traumatic for some owners to be parted from their pets, but our specialised dog unit ensures their welfare is maintained at all times.
Police officers have closed a property in Hemel Hempstead where drug taking and unsettling behaviour was reported. A property in Penrose Court is closed off from the public after it was linked to suspected drug dealing and nearby neighbours said they felt unsafe. Under the court order, which covers the Antisocial Behaviour, Crime and Policing Act of 2014, no one can enter the address for 3 months. Failing to adhere to the order could lead to an arrest and potential criminal charges. St Albans Magistrates Court heard that incidents of drug use, antisocial behaviour and people sleeping in stairwells had been reported at the building. Magistrates were told that people living near to the building felt unsafe. A warrant was obtained to raid the building last month and three people were arrested for possession with intent to supply Class A drugs. Community Safety Sergeant Chris Bignall, who represented Hertfordshire Constabulary in court, said the activity linked to the property was having a highly detrimental effect on their quality of life, with many living in fear. This is the fourth address in Decorum that we've closed in the past 6 months. I hope this reassures the public that we do take action in these circumstances and serves as a warning to anyone involved in crime and antisocial behaviour that we will not hesitate to seek these orders and remove people from their homes where necessary. A spokesperson for Decorum Borough Council said, "We welcome the swift action taken to secure a closure order for this address. Antisocial behaviour and drug-related activity have a devastating impact on residents' quality of life. No one should feel unsafe in their own home or community. This closure order sends a clear message that such behaviour will not be tolerated. We remain actively engaged, working closely with the police and housing providers to ensure that action is taken where necessary. We will continue to support residents in reporting concerns and pushing for enforcement against those who make our communities unsafe."
25 years ago, Jo Marshall's life took an unexpected turn when her infant daughter Jess was diagnosed with Leber's congenital amaurosis, a rare eye condition that caused total vision loss. Jess was only 7 months old when diagnosed, and being a new mum, the emotions hit Jo hard, especially when she struggled to find somewhere to find information. Within a few weeks, we'd heard from Moorfields and Hertfordshire's vision impaired team, but who were so helpful, but emotionally, there was not a lot of support for parents. We had no health visitor, and other professionals used to just look at us with sadness. That didn't help when we were turning to them. As for Jess, she was thriving, an inquisitive baby who started communicating at a young age and was always looking to learn. Jo had been working as a nursery nurse when she had Jess and therefore turned her hand to what she knew best, teaching. It was different though, as I had to plan activities by touch and create tactile resources. Going back to work was exhausting and I felt like we were alone and didn't know what we were doing. We found a Monday afternoon group for children with a visual impairment that was life-changing. It allowed me to have a break and speak to other parents, many of whom are still great friends more than 20 years later. When Jess was 2 years old, Jo decided that she wanted to make a change in her career. Inspired by watching her daughter grow, she looked to become part of a support network that would help other parents like her. She applied to be a habilitation specialist with the council. and with her wealth of early years experience, got the job. As Jo trained and then worked in her new field, she was able to see the impact that her training and the experience of those around her had on Jess. Throughout Jess's school years, she had a multi-professional team around her, supported by teachers and a fabulous habilitation specialist, Tracy Hunter, who is still in their lives. She said, "Having my colleagues' skills and expertise throughout Jess's educational life has massively contributed to the person she is now." 24 years later, Jo works as a senior habilitation specialist for guide dogs, helping other families access resources early into their journey with a visual impairment diagnosis. She is a strong advocate for early cane training and life skills, ensuring children grow up with the independence to be who they want to be, and runs the Guide Dogs My Time to Play group in Hertfordshire with her colleagues. My Time to Play is a wonderful program where parents of children with a visual impairment can come together regularly. It can really help parents feel like they're not alone and helps children start learning through sensory play from a young age. As for Jess, she has gone on to thrive, and Jo wants to make sure that other children are given the same experience. I think of it as a privilege, working alongside families and other professionals to promote early orientation, mobility and independent living skills. I want to help pass that knowledge on to others. If you'd like to find out more about how guide dogs can support a child with visual impairment, or to find out more about guide dogs and how you can help, visit guidedogs.org.uk or call 0800 781 1444.
Now we come to the information slot. This is followed by What's On and Any More News. Breakspear Park Business Park in Hemel Hempstead is calling on Hertfordshire residents to help shine a light on the region's most inspiring eco-heroes by nominating them for its £1,000 Community Sustainability Fund grant, but time is running out. The deadline for submissions is midnight on Saturday, the 4th of May, 2025. Now, in its second round, the quarterly initiative reflects Breakspear Park's commitment to environmental responsibility and its dedication to supporting grassroots efforts that make a tangible difference in the local communities and the planet. Each quarter, £1,000 is awarded to a not-for-profit environmental project that brings positive change to Hertfordshire. Nominations are open to local individuals, charities and organisations whose initiatives are both environmentally impactful and community focused. Whether it's a community garden, a recycling scheme, a biodiversity project, or an educational initiative that teaches sustainability in schools, all nominations will be considered. To submit a nomination, members of the public should email dina.mystery@breakspear-park.co.uk with a short overview of the project or initiative, details of how the £1,000 grant would be used, and contact information for both the nominee and nominator. Following the nomination deadline, Breakspear Park's management team will shortlist three finalists whose stories will be shared on the Business Park's Facebook page when the public can cast their vote. The winning project will be announced in June 2025. Dina Mystery, marketing manager at Breakspear Park, said, "We've been truly inspired by the range of nominations we've received so far, from projects restoring local green spaces to innovative ways of reducing waste in our communities. However, we know there are still many unsung heroes out there doing incredible work. This fund is our way of recognising their passion and giving them a platform to grow their impact. Whether you're part of a school, of a local charity, a school group, or just a small team of eco-conscious volunteers, if you're making Hertfordshire greener, we want to hear from you.
What's on? Stage. Solva Longa Murder, she wrote, Old Town Hall, Hemel Hempstead, April 5th. The cult hit show is a unique and comical night featuring games, prizes and audience participation, hosted by superfan Tim Benzie. Call 228091 or visit oldtownhall.co.uk to book. Theatre and Juliet. Milton Keynes Theatre, March 31st to April 12th. Get whisked away on a colourful journey as Juliet ditches her famous ending for a fresh beginning and a second chance at life and love, her way. Created by the Emmy-winning writer from Schitt's Creek, this new musical flips the script on the greatest love story ever told and asks what would happen next if Juliet didn't end it all over Romeo. Juliet's new story bursts to life through a playlist of pop anthems, including Britney Spears' Baby One More Time, Katy Perry's Raw, Backstreet Boys' Everybody, and more. Visit atgtickets.com/Milton Keynes to book. Comedy. Michael Akadiri, Trust Me, I'm a Daddy, Old Town Hall, Hemel Hempstead, April 6th. Described by Metro as supremely talented and likeable, Michael has long juggled comedy and medicine, but now he's thrown parenting into the mix too. Visit oldtownhill.co.uk to book.
On Wednesday the 23rd of April to Friday the 25th of April, Cathedral Rock Concerts by Candlelight. The popular concerts return to St Albans Cathedral with music by some of the most popular British rock artists performed by an ensemble of West End singers surrounded by candlelight. Three dates in April. Wednesday the 23rd at 7:30pm, Fleetwood Mac. Thursday the 24th at 7:30pm, Queen. Friday the 25th and Saturday the 26th of April, 2025, 7:30pm, Coldplay. St Peter's Church, Berkhamsted. On Saturday the 3rd of May, are having an arts and crafts fair. A date for your diaries. We are planning to hold an art fair in the courthouse to raise money for the St. Peter's renovation appeal. Local artists and makers will be exhibiting work and a portion of all sales will go towards fixing our leaking roof. There will also be refreshments and cakes on sale. We know that St. Peter's can lay on a truly fantastic spread of Delice de Burco. St. Albans Cathedral are delighted to announce that Boudica has laid an egg. A peregrine falcon is nesting again this year on the roof of St. Albans Cathedral, affectionately named after Boudica, the first century queen of the Iceni who famously sacked the Roman city in 61 AD. Once again, there is a peregrine live cam on the cathedral website so you can follow Boudica and her emerging brood.
Windmill Preschool in Marsworth is now open to children from 9 months old with funding available from 15 to 30 hours depending on the child's age. They offer hours from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. with the early start of 8:30 a.m. They encourage parents to express their interest via a contact form on their website. On Monday the 17th of March, Windmill Preschool held a grand opening for their second location in Marsworth. In attendance were the Chairman of Marsworth Parish Council, Bob Kennedy, and MP Laura Kirk-Smith. Nia, a parent and trustee, shared, "Windmill Preschool has secured itself an integral part of Pitstone and Ivinghoe through their passion, warmth, and quite simply, because they care for the children of the community. They care to make these early years enjoyable and engaging and work so hard to prepare the children for their next step, big step in their educational journey. Their regular fundraising events not only bring the local community together, but provide a great sense of community pride. I can only see bringing Windmill into the Marsworth community as a great benefit to expand on this and create the warmest of welcomes for babies and toddlers' first steps into care and education. Talk to any parent whose child attends Windmill and they will all have great things to say about the school and staff. All staff treat the children with so much love and care, and it is evident in how excited children are when they come to preschool in the mornings. Emma, Windmill Preschool Area Manager, said, "I am so proud to be part of Windmill Preschool as a whole. We have worked hard over the last 7 years creating a wonderful space for children and their families. I'm delighted to be able to bring the Windmill magic to yet another village and also to be able to open our families to even younger children from 9 months. Windmill Preschool is a registered charity with locations in Ivinghoe and Marsworth. It is run by a committee of volunteers and is a huge part of the local community. It has great relationships and works very closely with the local schools to ensure continuity of early years childcare and education. The preschool also holds regular fundraising events open to the community. The biggest event is Windmill Fest, which is held at the end of the school year. The families of Windmill children and the residents of local villages look forward to this event for the fun, games, entertainment and food. All proceeds go towards helping fund the preschool. For more information and inquiries, visit windmillpreschool.co.uk. For more information about government funding, visit gov.uk/check-eligible-free-childcare-if-your-working.
Barrett Homes and David Wilson Homes has recently donated £1,500 to Hertfordshire-based charity Kids in Mind in Hertfordshire. The House Builders North Thames Division, whose head office is based in Watford, will support the charity's 6 core services: mental health support, children's well-being, play therapy, music therapy, art therapy, and comfort toys for children exposed to domestic violence. Kids in Mind is a sanctuary for disadvantaged children and young people who have escaped domestic violence. Each of the charity's 6 core services has been thoughtfully designed to nurture healing and to help every child rediscover their right to a peaceful and happy childhood. The £1,500 donation comes from the Barrett Foundation, the House Builders Charity Partnership, which aims to support local charities and groups wherever Barrett Developments PLC operates across the UK. The charity will use the donation to support children locally with their care sessions at Specialist Domestic Abuse Services based in St Albans. Julian Mogulin, CEO of Kids in Mind, said, "Barrett and David Wilson Holmes' generous donation has been put towards supporting children locally with our sessions at the Refuge Group based in St Albans, a safe haven for children and their guardians. The well-being sessions enable children to find coping strategies and build resilience. This positivity provides emotional regulation and gives them tools to deal with their trauma." Mark Wolfe, Director of Sales and Marketing at Barrett David Wilson North Thames, adds, "We are pleased to hear that our community fund donation will be used to help fund care sessions for children in St Albans. Kids in Mind is an impressive local charity, and it is so important that we can support initiatives like these for our communities."
Kerry Ann Cooper, founder of Liberty Tea Rooms and Community Hub in Hemel Hempstead, has been honoured with the Community Award at the Heart Hertfordshire Hero Awards 2025, recognising over a decade of dedication to supporting vulnerable individuals. Kerry Ann, who co-founded the charity with her husband Owen, received the award at a glittering ceremony on Friday evening at Tewenberry Farm, Now in its seventh year, the Hertfordshire Hero Awards celebrate ordinary people making an extraordinary difference, with this year seeing a record number of nominations from across the county. Since establishing Liberty Tea Rooms in 2013, Kerri-Anne has worked tirelessly to create a welcoming and inclusive space where those in need can access support for mental, social and financial well-being. In 2016, she spearheaded a fundraising campaign to relocate the charity to Bank Court in Hemel Hempstead's town centre, securing its place as a vital hub for the local community. Today, Liberty Tea Rooms is run by volunteers ranging in age from 18 to 91, offering fresh food and drink at a minimum suggested donation, so that even those on a low income can feel included. The community hub side of the charity provides free services, including money management courses, life skills support, and a food bank distribution point. During the awards ceremony, videos featuring those who nominated the winners were played, including a tribute from local resident and longtime Liberty Tea Room supporter, Dan Stobbs, who said, "Kerri-Anne has been the heart of our community for years. She saw a need and took action, establishing a remarkable charity that has helped countless vulnerable individuals access financial advice, develop life skills, and feel a real sense of belonging. This award is a testament to her incredible impact." Kerri-Anne was presented with the award by the Lord Lieutenant of Hertfordshire, Robert Voss, CBE, CSTJ, and a broadcaster, John Darin. Reflecting on the honour, she said, "I was shocked to be nominated, let alone win. This award belongs to the entire Liberty Tea Rooms family, our incredible volunteers, supporters and partner organisations who make our community stronger every day." During her speech on stage, Kerri-Anne highlighted her passion for inclusion and advocacy, celebrating the diverse community of volunteers who make Liberty Tea Rooms special. "We've got young people with learning difficulties, Asperger's and all different kinds of challenges, and I'm a real advocate. We've all got something to bring to the table. I'm dyslexic, I have dyspraxia, I have ADHD, I have autism. But do you know what? Because of all that, I did this. Everyone else would run a mile. So I believe in taking risks and in building community." Having recently stepped back to enjoy her retirement, Kerri-Anne is confident in the charity's future under its new CEO, Richard Evans. She added, "Richard is leading the charity into its next chapter, and I have no doubt that Liberty Tea Rooms and Community Hub will continue to grow and support the community for years to come." To find out more about the charity's services and volunteering opportunities, please visit the Liberty Tea Rooms website.
Home improvement specialist Eurocell has officially opened a new trade branch in Hemel Hempstead, providing installers, builders, roofers and tradespeople in the local community with a one-stop shop for high-quality building solutions. Located at Unit 11, McDonald Business Park, Maylands Avenue, HP2 7EB, the branch opened its doors on the 31st of March. Offering an extensive range of products from PVC U windows and doors, composite doors, rainwater and roofline solutions, outdoor living products including garden rooms, composite decking and fencing, the branch will serve as a one-stop destination for all home improvement project needs. The branch will be open from 7:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. on weekdays and 8 a.m. to 12 noon on Saturdays. Tradespeople can benefit from click and collect and next day delivery options, helping them stay on track with projects and fit them into their busy schedules. Inside Eurocell Hemel Hempstead, a comprehensive selection of PVCU products will be available for immediate collection. It will also offer everything from soffits and fascias, guttering and cladding, to conservatory roofs, solid conservatory roofs, skypod lantern roofs, and a complete range of silicones and sealants, fixings and tools. Hayley Price, branch manager for Hemel Hempstead, commented, "We are looking forward to launching our new Eurocell trade branch in Hemel Hempstead. Like with all our branches, it will offer a vast range of building solutions and expert advice from one location, so builders, installers and roofers can get everything they need for their projects, whether they're working on a small renovation or a large-scale project. Eurocell already supports more than 40,000 trade professionals in the UK, so we're excited to bring that expertise and knowledge to the local trade community in Hemel Hempstead. Eurocell is the leading UK manufacturer, distributor and recycler of PVC U windows, doors and building products, serving trade professionals across its over 200 branches. It also offers a wide range of products for home renovations and new build projects under a single brand. This includes more than 10,000 products across garden rooms, extensions, decking, fencing, roofing, rainwater, interior and exterior cladding, and much more. Trade professionals are encouraged to sign up for a Eurocell trade account, unlocking perks such as fixed pricing and credit options across all branches, ensuring seamless and cost-effective purchasing. For more information about the new branch, visit eurocell.co.uk/Hemel-Hempstead.
A group of budgies brought back treasured memories of a resident's own pet birds on visits to a Hemel Hempstead care home. Budgies called Doc, Grumpy, Happy, Sleepy and Bashful were not only a sensory delight for those living at Watermill House Care Home on Rose Lane with their happy chatter and bright colours, but they also reminded residents of happy times as children, caring for their own budgerigars. Judith Oates, aged 87, is living with dementia and was one of the first to ask for time with their new feathered friends. She said, "When I was a child, I had five budgies. They were yellow and green, and each one had their own personality. I love looking after them, feeding them, and listening to their cheerful chatter. Those were happy times filled with the simple pleasure pets give, bringing joy and companionship." For one resident, Ruth Tyler, aged 85, the visit brought back strong memories of her beloved pets, Minty and Skye. She said, "When I was 10 years old, I had a green budgie named Minty and a blue one that I called Skye. I would spend hours talking to them and watching them hop round their cage. The budgies that visited the home were beautiful and I loved talking to them and hearing their chirrup back to me. There is something very calming about a little budgie." The Dementia and Palliative Care Specialist Home organised for the team from Performing Pets to bring the birds for a visit as part of an animal-assisted therapy session. The home's lifestyle coordinator, Colin Levy, said, "For individuals living with dementia, memories of childhood pets can be an important link to their past, evoking emotions and moments that may otherwise seem lost. Encouraging conversations about past pets, looking at old photographs or even visiting an aviary can help trigger positive emotions in those with dementia. Sometimes all it takes is the sound of birdsong or the sight of a fluttering wing to unlock a memory and bring a moment of clarity and joy. In the journey through dementia, the past can sometimes seem unreachable, but with the help of beloved pets, even those long gone, moments of connection can still shine through." The 65-bed care home provides residential, nursing, specialist dementia and end-of-life care. Colin continued, "The visit brought back fond memories for many of our residents and started lots of conversations. One resident, Linda, recalled visiting her auntie who had a pet budgie called Georgie. Judith remembered having a mix of green and blue budgies when she was a child. She had a huge smile on her face when the budgies sat on her hand. Though some details may have faded from memory, the joy the budgies brought to her remains imprinted on her heart." Home manager Victoria Forsyth added, "Reminiscence is an important aspect of our care at Watermill House, and animal-assisted therapy is a wonderful way of helping our residents to recall precious moments from their younger days. It's equally as important to focus on creating new experiences for our residents, and these colourful characters charmed many of our residents today with their sweet natures." Watermill House Care Home were finalists in the Dignity in Care category at the East of England Great British Care Awards 2023. The Care Home also provides expert care to adults with a range of support needs, including rehab following a stroke or amputation, paralysis, muscular dystrophy, multiple sclerosis, and Parkinson's.
Looking back at the top four travel trends from COVID-19. 1. Beyond the capitals. While capital cities continue to dominate in absolute visitor numbers, smaller cities gained traction, reflecting a shift in traveller preferences. Cities like Belfast, Bilbao, Florence, Nice, Frankfurt and Munich have seen notable booking growth since 2020. Planning closer to departure. During the pandemic, shifting travel restrictions made last-minute bookings the dominant trend, with the vast majority of trips booked within 4 weeks of departure. Although planning timelines have since lengthened, reflecting greater consumer confidence, short-term bookings are more popular than before COVID-19. 3. Solo travel is trending. As COVID restrictions eased and people regained control in their daily lives, solo travel was a big trend in 2023, with decision-making control emerging as the top motivator at 41%. Safety anxiety dropped by 24% since 2021. And 4, the rise of the mini break. Trip durations have evolved significantly, revealing a shift towards shorter but more frequent trips. Short getaways now dominate, with the most popular trip length today standing at up to 4 days, with long weekend trips on the rise. Trips lasting 3 to 4 days increased from 25% in 2019 to 34% in 2024.
Basketball. Last weekend saw Hemel Storm host the Newcastle Knights on Saturday night before making the short journey to Uxbridge to face London Cavaliers on Sunday. Whilst Storm would have confirmed themselves as champions if they had won both their fixtures, a Reading Rockets defeat on Sunday confirmed a second Division 1 title in the history of Hemel Storm. Saturday's game saw Storm match up against Newcastle Knights in the final regular season home game at the Storm Dome. The game proved to be a scrappy affair as Storm struggled to gain a firm control of the encounter. This resulted in the lead changing hands on multiple occasions before the decisive final quarter, which saw Storm win 11-4. In what was an electric atmosphere from a sold-out Storm Dome combined with the low-scoring battle, Storm took the victory as they won 73-68. This left Sunday's fixture against the London Cavaliers, which had many different scenarios attached to the game. While Storm would have confirmed themselves as league champions with a victory, celebrations could have commenced prior to the final buzzer if Reading Rockets failed to beat Essex Rebels. Storm were able to show a resilient mentality to overcome deficits in both fixtures. Following a poor start to Saturday's fixture, the team were able to show great character to overcome their setback, a mentality which has been key to their success this season. Sunday saw a similar mentality displayed, fighting back from a half-time deficit to take the lead, before Cavaliers were able to use their experience to take the game to a further 5 minutes. While Storm may not have performed to their potential, confirmation of their status as league champions will certainly take a huge amount of pressure off the final fixture, as Storm travel to face Bradford Dragons in a game that Storm would have had to win. However, building a strong momentum heading into the playoffs will be a factor on Mark Clark's mind, who has instilled a vast amount of discipline into the side since the beginning of the season. Storm will now head to Bradford Dragons to round off the regular season before a home leg in the playoff quarterfinals awaits. It will be key for Storm to gain control of these fixtures and will thrive off the outstanding home support given by the Storm faithful. Tickets for this fixture are available to purchase on the Fanbase platform. As this game will be expected to be a sellout, make sure to secure your tickets to avoid disappointment. Prior to the beginning of the playoffs, Storm also have their annual awards presentation evening on Friday, 11th of April, which will be a night of celebrating the achievements of both men's and women's teams this season. Tickets to this presentation are also available to purchase on the fan base.
Football. Lee Allinson was happy with a point on the road as his Hemel Hempstead Town side continued their busy schedule at Bath City last weekend. The goalless draw was aided in part by a penalty save from Hemel's Luton loanee, Jameson Horlick, in a game that didn't see too many other chances from either side. And Allinson told the club's media after the game that his side looked a bit fatigued at times. He said, "I thought it was a really hard game again. We've just come off the back of really tough games against Wormley, Welling and Worthing on some really awkward pitches, and I have to give full credit to the boys. We're probably a little bit short in the attack department at the moment, and if I'm honest, we look a bit tired. But we've played Saturday, Monday or Saturday, Tuesday every single week since the end of January, and it's been really tough going. So to come here today, it wasn't pretty, but it was great. It was determined, it lacked quality, but I thought, as a group of players, we got stronger as the game went on, which was pleasing." Obviously, Jamo's had to make the penalty save, which was a great save, and they've had one that's hit the post. But other than that, they haven't really carved us open. But at the same time, we haven't carved them open. I think both defences won today, and I'm just very pleased to come away from home and get a point after a proper defensive performance. Hemel currently top something of a mini-league in National League South, sitting in ninth place with 5 games to play. With eighth place Western Supermare 11 points ahead, and the only other team with any real hope of playoff placing, Hemel head a group of 7 teams separated by just 5 points. Next up is a home game with Enfield Town on Saturday, who sit just above the relegation zone, with 7th place Boreham Wood following a week later.
We are coming to the end of this week's news. Sunrise and sunset times for this weekend are 6:27 a.m. and 7:42 p.m. For those with access to the internet, our news is uploaded to our website soon after the recording each week on Thursday evening. This can be found by visiting dtnhemel.org.uk. If you wish to listen on Alexa, say, "Alexa, open the Talking Newspaper skill." Alexa will ask you which broadcast you want to listen to. When prompted, reply, "Play the Decorum Talking Newspaper." This part can be tricky. If Alexa offers the wrong station, just say no and then try again. For those who are listening to this week's news via a memory stick, after the music there is the amenities section that gives details of various groups and the contact details of organisations. Please remove your memory stick carefully from the player and return it to us in the pouch provided. Seal it up firmly. Turn the label over and post it back to us using any Royal Mail postbox. No stamp is required. Thank you for listening. Until next time, it's goodbye from all your readers, the editor, and Jake, your technician for this week. Goodbye.